There is a popular view lingering to the present day, according to which communism and nationalism cannot be reconciled with each other, and therefore nationalist ideas were banned in all the satellite states after the communist takeover. This seems to be in contradiction with the fact that from the last phase of World War II and following the war, communist parties identified and promoted themselves as defenders of national interests and advocates of patriotism in all the Soviet bloc countries. Stalin himself showed an example in his own Soviet Union of how hatred of the imperialist West can be linked to the propagation of domestic achievements and the emphasizing of national pride. In Hungary, underlining the national aspect of the Communist Party became a priority from 1947 onward. The major party ideologist and subsequent Minister of Culture, József Révai, rightly observed that emphasizing its nationalist character can make the Communist Party attractive to the Hungarian people who were otherwise disinclined toward the Soviet Union. In his speeches and articles, however, Révai developed the exact meaning of the dual nature of the new Hungarian nationalism. I quote, "Our new culture will be a socialist one, but also a Hungarian one with inalienable national characteristics," end of quote. Révai further added that in promoting and remodeling the national characteristics, one had to follow the example of the Soviet Union and its culture. The Cultural Revolution started in 1949, demanded the transformation of musical life too, in accordance with the Soviet example. In this respect, the proposals and resolutions of the Second Prague Congress of Composers and Critics, which was organized under Soviet supervision in 1948, and speeches of Andrei Zhdanov, delivered during the Convention of Soviet Musical Experts in the Central Committee of Communist Party of Soviet Union, also in 1948, were looked upon as unquestionable ideological pointers. Both examples contained elements regulating the national character of new music. The Prague Congress resolution stated that composers would only find the right track if, I quote, they establish a more intimate connection with the national culture of, their country of origin and protect their music from false international tendencies, since true internationalism in music can only be achieved through cultivating national characteristics, end of quote. In accordance with Cold War rhetorics, Zhdanov used even stronger phrases. Emphasizing the struggle against cosmopolitanism, he stated that, I quote, "Internationalism is being born there where nationalistic art is thriving. By obfuscating this principle, we have lost our track, lost our characteristics, and have become cosmopolitans with no ties at all. Only those nations can appreciate the wealth of the music of other peoples who have their own sophisticated musical culture," end of quote. Zhdanov's words were soon also applied not only to the classical, but to the popular music. The establishment of a fully centralized institutional framework enabling manual control was a prerequisite for the transformation of popular music. The directions were defined by direct instructions from the Ministry of People's Education, the Party's Department of Agitation and Propaganda, and by decisions of the Association of Hungarian Musicians and its joint committees, for example, the Opining Committee. Besides the solidification of the centralized institutional structure, another major guarantee of the transformation was the creation of a new critical jargon. This jargon was intended to manage Stalinism in its entirety and aimed at representing itself as a completely self-contained, unified entity. Its terms, however, and the critique communicated through them, served the purpose of establishing a vague and contradictory system of requirements which was impossible to comply with. One can often witness how participants of committees and the Association of Hungarian Musicians try to interpret and acquire terms heard from time to time into the discourse, especially since most of these terms, such as realism itself or the concept of party conformism, did not originate in musicology, but in related disciplines, primarily literary criticism. Consequently, they could hardly be applied to the musical discourse. The present study cannot furnish exploration of the entire vocabulary of Hungarian socialist realist musical critics. Therefore, I will focus on the essential features of nationalist dance music and the changes in its meanings. The first overt references to a desire for national dance music were expressed in early 1950. This year, in 1950, Zdenko Tamási, leader of the Department of Dance Music, both at the state radio station and the Association of Hungarian Musicians, in his substantial programmatic article entitled The Questions of Hungarian Dance Music, did not only call attention to the undefined nature of the Hungarianness in dance music, but also pointed out how American lifestyle and propagandists of cosmopolitanism can be opposed if only one keeps in mind certain principles of composing. Thus, a sort of dance music can be created which is not only externally, but in its entirety in both forms and language authentically Hungarian. Tamási borrowed four considerations from Zsdanov which need to prevail in new dance music compositions. First, the need for the primacy of the melody, contrary to the rhythm or G's peculiar to American jazz. Second, a clear and present harmony, contrary to the formalist cacophony of American jazz. Third, the optimism, contrary to the pessimistic, nervous atmosphere of American jazz. And finally, a reasonable lyrics related to contemporary life, contrary to the often erotic, foolish lyrics of American jazz. The makers of musical policy were under constant pressure to implement this program. In the same year, they set up workgroups, while together with the Hungarian Radio and the Department of Music and Dance of the Ministry, announced the call for Hungarian composers to write popular songs of the new kind. At the same time, hard work commenced in the popular music department of the Association of Musicians. This work often started with marking points of reference, finding and naming the enemy. In defining the enemy, both terms of class struggle and anti-Westernism were implemented. The aim was, on the one hand, to purge the musical repertoire of any song which may contain elements of Western dance music, and on the other hand, to eliminate unwanted components from the music composed under the instructions of the party and the Association of Musicians. It is to be noted again that accusations were often made with the same summarizing expressions like aristocratism, people alien nature, bourgeois taste, sentimentalism, Americanism and cosmopolitanism, and Zionism. This language still cannot be called consistent, since these terms were often exchangeable, and their meanings also changed and were expanded almost every time they were used. Consequently, virtually no dance music composition or compositional element was immune to devastating critiques. This is how the tune Soha Soha Nem Volt Szebb a Szerelem, Love Has Never Been More Beautiful, composed by one of the major ideologists of the Department of Popular Music, János Maróti, was criticized as being undanceable and for lacking an optimistic demeanor, although with his song Maróti actually tried to set an example for the students at one of the state-funded dance music composing schools of 1953. Each of the above expressions was sufficiently elusive to make fatal decisions about a line, an entire composition, a composer, or even a complete genre possible. These decisions, however objective they may have seemed, were in fact entirely subjective and based idiosyncratic impressions and value judgments. It was not only orchestration that could exclude the influence of Americanism or imperialist jazz. such as the use of saxophone, brass section, a clarinet, or the pistons, but also the frequent use of certain types of chords, such as nonce chords, 11th chords, and the techniques of melody making, chromatic turns, rhythms that can be turned into swinging, even more informal types of performance dotted with syncopes. There is no better evidence for the uncontrolled nature of the system than the fact that at the first general convention of the Association of Musicians, András Behar demanded the search for Americanism not only in the chords, but in the atmosphere of the composition itself. The socialist-realist discourse was less effective in the second phase of the work, the designing of the new nationalistic style. Neither composers nor critics had much of a choice if they were to remove all hostile elements. During the clarification of the basis of the new genre, it was especially difficult to discover a method to emphasize the national character of dance music and social dances, while also maintaining their danceable nature. For the majority, the most appropriate way seemed to be the modernization and recycling of village folk music and folkish urban music like Magyar Nóta. Many endeavors were made to harmonize features of dance music with those of folk songs. It is, however, a fact that none of these attempts could convince even the most ardent supporters of the movement. Even the major patron of folkish dance music, the above-mentioned János Maróti, concluded in January 1952 that this initiative had so far been unsuccessful. According to him, the reason for the failure was that composers had not devoted enough energy to the understanding of features of folk songs. He argued that composers and performers should discover a particular Hungarian style of performance, such as implementing the Verbunkos technique. In 1951, a further elusive term was added to the vocabulary of discourse on the national dance music, intonation. This happened to a large extent due to the linguistic debate conducted in the Soviet Union with the participation of Stalin himself. As a result of his debate, the significance of linguistic analogies had grown in the musicology. The use of the words articulation or intonation grew more frequent. The newly established journal New Musical Review published an article from the Soviet musicologist Uritskaya entitled The National System of Intonation. In this text, the author argued that similarly to the spoken languages, each nation's national musical language is replete with unparalleled peculiarities which define the solitary way its content can be expressed. During the debate session on popular music organized on 24th of November 1951, concomitantly with the first Hungarian Musical Week, the eventual director of the popular music department, Béla Tardos, urged the study of the linguistic tone and intonation, since he believed that popular music can find the rhyme track through the examination of the melody of speech. He argued that the national character of tunes can be emphasized through the comprehension and reproduction of linguistic features. This interpretation resulted in forcing Verbunkos and Csárdás-style dance songs, as well as in a forced Magyarization of various types of non-Hungarian dance forms like folk, waltz, and so on. But apart from a few exceptions, the Hungarian-style tunes composed under the supervision of censors did not become popular. Shortly, many critics acknowledged that the problem might be that both composers and lyricists produced in a way that would satisfy the opining committee. By the spring of 1953, Stalin's death, the concept of folk music-based nationalistic dance music had obviously undergone a crisis. In the inner circle, during a vice ministerial meeting on 11th of January 1953, employees of the Ministry of People's Education, charged with the issues of music, proposed the rectification of the status of popular entertainment. They accused themselves with aristocratism and admitted that the entertainment of the workers had slipped out of control due a deviation from the ideas of the masses. Even members of the opining committee had more and more frequently come to the conclusion that previous approaches might not be the only solutions for the issues raised concerning the new style of dance music. It is hardly necessary to explain the dramatic changes occurring in each country of the region following the death of the Soviet dictator Stalin. But in popular music, similarly to the Hungarian domestic policy and other domains of public life, the real change was still to come. Reforms took place only after the leadership Reforms took place only after the leadership of the party in June 1953 was forced to admit some of its former faults. Although the dogmatic wing of the Hungarian political leaders did not completely pull back, they had to make compromises. József Révay resigned and retired from politics. The newly appointed prime minister, Imre Nagy, who was, according to a contemporary terminology, a revisionist, announced a new government program. One of the crucial aims of this program was the immediate improvement of the living standards of the population, and in relation to that, the satisfaction of the masses' need for entertainment. Following June 1953, the attitude toward jazz and cosmopolitan dance music did apparently ease. In a vice ministerial meeting in January 1954, it was already mentioned that good jazz and lounge music should be supported. A month later, it was also stated that dance music composers did not need to use folkish tunes. A late 1954 report written for the party on the state of the dance culture confronted national intonation, arguing that nice melodies and decent orchestration are more important for the working masses than hammering Hungarianist songs forcefully deprived of their cosmopolitan characteristics. However, when this report was filed, there was already another change underway in domestic politics. Mátyás Rákosi and the Hungarian supporters of Stalinism started to undermine and hinder the implementation of the government program. This again led to a change in the public sentiment. A report of Agitation and Propaganda Department of the party issued on the 16th of December 1954 did already express a fierce criticism of the government program and argued that the recurring proliferation of the middle class tastes in Hungary is due to the government program. The report did also clearly solicit in favor of restoring the pre-July 1953 situation. However, it made a major distinction admitting that the earlier attitude of quantitatively emphasizing nationalistic aspects is wrong, and rather high standards should be articulated, and claimed at the same time that the aesthetic education of people willing to dance is more important than highlighting nationalistic features. The comprehensive report issued for the party in December 1954, entitled The Problems and Status of the Hungarian Music, announced the program of national dance music based on the achievements of Hungarian classical music. It claimed that, I quote, Hungarian popular music will only solve its problems if it succeeds in processing the achievements of Hungarian artistic music in popular form, and if it manages to prevail over earlier popular music in a fair fight. In this struggle, administrative measures against earlier dance music are not appropriate, but we deem it necessary to support new endeavors concerning dance music. End of quote. This new program, which is broad public procurement contracts, is not much different from the cultural policy established after the Hungarian Revolution of 1956. The creed of the latter was, from the very beginning, decent and classy entertainment, and the aesthetic education of the youth. To conclude, the transformation of 1954 was not significantly influenced by the backsliding after the April 1955 Rákosi's return to power. It seems that the loss of influence of the truly nationalist rivalry and the détente of Khrushchev marked by the policy of peaceful coexistence brought about the collapse of the Stalinist nationalist policies. Finally, the Hungarian Revolution of 1956, which aimed at true national independence, resulted in a reconsideration of the relationship of nationalism and communism in the entire region. Nevertheless, several composers and musicologists participating in the struggle for the creation of national dance music held their position even the Kádár era. Similarly, some compositional mechanisms of the beginnings of the 50s survived, and the stylistic features of the dance music of that time still continued to exert their effect on the traditional dance music culture of the 60s. Thank you. And I'd like to show two very short examples. The first one is a child song, one of the victims of the anti-cosmopolitan campaigns in 1952. And it was accused that it could be turned into swinging, wild swinging. Then I tried it a different way.
Kisebbik lányom az öcsi Évi, állat kedve vitte el apukát. Jókat kérdezze ő az elefántnál, hadd mondom el néhány kuti szavát. Apu hadd megte a szakad elefánt az oroszlán barlangjába. Apu hadd megte a szakad elefánt, hogyha meghívják tejára. Az a kormányát tudja be a buta, az egy kis könnyelmű szék. Mire felszíta a tejjáját, ne harapták rég a kormányát. Van-e fótormánya?
And the second one was a really great hit in 1952, forced by the radio and the Association of Musicians. It was called Sajte Madár, Fly You Bird. And it was the truly nationalistic dance music.
De szeretném, ha szeretném, úgy, ahogyan én.
So, thank you very much.